With this day and this Mass, we end the month of July, month which begins with the solemn feast of the precious blood, and during which month we particularly pay attention to all the wonderful graces that are given to us through that precious blood. And then it ends with the feast of this very important saint in the Church. Indeed, a saint who had to do very much with the calling forth and the continuation, which was very, very difficult, of the Council of Trent. It took about 20 years to finish it, and finally it was finished. And the Jesuits, his sons, the Company of Jesus, had to do very much with it, as we see in the life of Saint Peter Faver, Saint Peter Canisius, and the others who were with him. But how did it all begin? Saint Ignatius was born the second son of the De Loyola family. And it's a little town, not a big city or anything, in Cantabria in Spain. And as a result, he would have not inherited very much of anything. His older brother would have inherited the titles and all the lands. And so usually the second and other sons of such a family would either enter the priesthood or they would go into the army to fight and to make a name for themselves. And so it was with Ignatius. He joined the King of Spain, and at the time that he was a young man still, there was a war which happened like every 2 or 3 years. If somebody blinked the wrong way, they went to war with the King of France. And so it was during the Battle of Pamplona in the area of Navarra, where my father's family is from, that he was captured. But first of all, a cannonball hit him in the leg and tore up his leg. Not a very pleasant thing at all for a young man, a strong, muscular, and active young man. And so they did what they could. There weren't any hospitals or emergency rooms. So they put his leg back together, but not very well. And he was sent home to his family to take care of him as best they could. Well, when they saw this, they saw that the leg was not set properly. And in order to set it properly, the doctors had to break the bone again and set it properly. Imagine how much pain that would have cost him. So if you think you have pain, you don't have enough pain yet. And so St. Ignatius, and as a result, he had to spend 6 months recuperating in bed, during which, up to that point, he was reading romance novels, which was the only thing available in the castle. They didn't have very much of a library. And then his sister-in-law produced forth a book of the life of Jesus and another book of the lives of saints. And so it was there that he saw the heroic life and martyrdom of Saint Ignatius of Antioch, who was eaten by the lions. And he thought to himself, if they could do that, why can't I? And of course, that is a proper attitude to take. And so he began the process of conversion. As soon as he was able to walk and travel, he then went to the not too far off a monastery of Our Lady of Montserrat, north of Barcelona, in the province of Catalonia. And there he took his armor and his sword and his helmet, which are still there, and presented them to the Blessed Mother, and offered his life to Jesus through Mary. Then He started to live as a hermit in the mountains, but at the same time he thought, well, I have to do more than this. So I found a priest to advise him, to lead him in the right direction, and he says, you need to be educated. You don't know very much about theology or philosophy or anything. So he decided to go to Paris, to the University of Paris, which was the greatest university at that time, founded by King St. Louis. And there he met up with a group of other young men who also were thinking about, what am I going to do with my life? You know, there's not much to do in this world. The things of this world come and they go, whether they be money or wives and children or whatever, they come and go, and then what's left? So they wanted more. And so they decided, under the interesting directorship of the oldest one of them all, by that time, St. Ignatius was the oldest one, probably in his 30s already. All of them were still in their early 20s. They decided to go under him, and eventually came out of that the Society of Jesus, the Company of Jesus. And they eventually were to make their vows to our Lord in the beautiful mountain and chapel, not the present chapel, but the then existing chapel, where St. Denis, the first bishop of Paris, had come up the mountain with his head in his hands, Montmartre, the mountain of the martyrs, where many martyrs had been made there in the early days of the church. And then they decided that they were going to go to the Holy Land and convert the Muslims. But it was not God's will. So in the meantime, more and more and more young men joined them, and they were studying together in the university, as there were no seminaries at the time. That was started by the Council of Trent. And then they decided, well, if we cannot go to the Holy Land, we will go to Rome and present ourselves to the Holy Father and offer him our lives and our work. And so they went to Rome, and the Holy Father was very happy to accept them. Now at this time, the church was battling ferociously the heresy of the heresiarch Martin Luther, who was an Augustinian canon. A lot of people say monk or whatever. He was a canon of the Augustinians' canons. And he was destroying the faith and the princes and kings or whatever in that area were taking it up, because that meant that they did not have to give their tithe to the Pope. So money was involved as well. And so St. Ignatius began to preach and teach against the Lutherans. And since then, of course, the rest is history. When one goes to the Church of the Gesù in Rome, where many Jesuit saints are buried, and principally St. Ignatius, one sees all around his magnificent tomb, the virtue of faith with the chalice and the host crushing Martin Luther, and on the other hand, crushing Satan with all the heresies that he produces to confuse and confound Catholics. And so thus began this wonderful enterprise. Now, at the time of St. Ignatius, that church did not exist. That came about 100 years later. But a little church did exist, and it just shows you that the will of God is not to be flaunted or destroyed by anyone. There was a little church near the present-day Church of St. Ignatius, which also did not exist, where they started their first school in Rome. And there was a beautiful image of Our Lady called La Madonna della Strada, Our Lady of the Street. Not the one that is nowadays popular, you know, that you find in all the catalogs. It's a very beautiful image. St. Ignatius fell in love with her, and he asked a priest there to give that icon of Our Lady to him. And not only did he give him the picture of Our Lady, he gave him the whole church. And so the Jesuits began their enterprise for God and for the church in the little church, which is still there, and it's not little at all, it's much bigger than this, of La Madonna della Strada. And the rest, again, as I said, is history. He would be joined by many others and many, many, many saints, among them his beloved friend, one of the youngest ones, St. Francis Xavier, who was sent by him to Portugal to go to the East Indies, and of course, India and all the areas of Asia where the Japan and the Philippines and so forth, where the faith was spread to begin with by the Jesuits, soon thereafter joined by the Dominicans. So, a wonderful saint, a wonderful life, a wonderful example for all of us. It is a life with which we should be familiar, because there are many, many things. I could be talking to you till next week and not tell you everything that there is to know about the great St. Ignatius of Loyola. And the thing is, you think God wants you to do this, and you start doing this, and then all of a sudden it's all destroyed, and then all of a sudden God makes it possible for something else that is His will, and it becomes successful, not without suffering, not without pain, but it becomes successful. So let us pray in this day and age of so many, many horrors in the world and in the church, to St. Ignatius de Loyola, and especially for his society, which is totally in rags and totally contrary to what he started, in heresy and immorality and so forth. Let us pray to St. Ignatius for the restoration of the society of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.